The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 1st Canto, Chapter Number 2, Text Number 16, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Das Adhikari, recorded on January 7th, 2007, in Singataka, Fiji.
So, today we're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, 1st Canto, Chapter Number 2, Divinity and Divine Service. Text number 16. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Shushrushoshvadadanasya Vasudeva Kataruchi Syam Mahat Sevaya Vipra Punyatirtana Shevanat.
O
twice-born sages, by serving those devotees who are completely freed from all vice, great service is done. By such service, one gains affinity for hearing the messages of Vasudeva. Purport. The conditioned life of a living being is caused by his revolting against the Lord. There are men called Deva, or godly living beings, and there are men called asuras, or demons, who are against the authority of the Supreme Lord. In the Bhagavad Gita, 16th chapter, a vivid description of the asuras is given, in which it is said that the asuras are put into lower and lower states of ignorance, life after life, and so sink to the lower animal forms, and have no information of the Absolute Truth, the Personality of Godhead. These asuras are gradually rectified to God consciousness by the mercy of the Lord's liberated servitors in different countries, according to the Supreme Will. Such devotees of God are very confidential associates of the Lord. And when they come to save human society from the dangers of godlessness, they are known as the powerful incarnations of the Lord, as sons of the Lord, as servants of the Lord, or as associates of the Lord. But none of them falsely claim to be God themselves. This is a blasphemy declared by the asuras, and the demoniac followers of such asuras also accept pretenders as God or his incarnation. In the revealed scriptures, there is definite information of the incarnation of God. No one should be accepted as God or an incarnation of God unless he is confirmed by the revealed scriptures. The servants of God are to be respected as God by the devotees who actually want to go back to Godhead. Such servants of God are called Mahatmas or Tirthas, and they preach according to particular time and place. The servants of God urge people to become devotees of the Lord. They never tolerate being called God. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is God himself according to the indication of the revealed scriptures. But he played the part of a devotee. People who knew him to be God addressed him as God. But he used to block his ears with his hands and chant the name of Lord Vishnu. He strongly protested against being called God, although undoubtedly he was God himself. The Lord behaves so to warn us against unscrupulous men who take pleasure in being addressed as God. The servants of God come to propagate God consciousness, and intelligent people should cooperate with them in every respect. By serving the servant of God, one can please God more than by directly serving the Lord. The Lord is more pleased when he sees that his servants are properly respected, because such servants risk everything for the service of the Lord and so are very dear to the Lord. The Lord declares in the Bhagavad Gita 18:69 that there is no one more dear to him than one who risks everything to preach his glory. By serving the servants of the Lord, one gradually gets the quality of such servants, and thus one becomes qualified to hear the glories of God. The eagerness to hear about God is the first qualification of a devotee eligible for entering the kingdom of God. Om Agyana Timurandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Shakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Shtapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Gadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam. This purport is absolutely amazing. The amount of knowledge, the amount of wisdom, the amount of bhakti shakti which is infused within this purport. One of the most wonderful points that Prabhupada is making: by serving the servants of the Lord, one gradually gets the quality of such servants. The non-devotees, you see, they are envious. An envious person, or a neophyte devotee, also have that problem. A neophyte devotee is like a karmi in many ways. Kanishta adhikari, they are also called materialistic devotee. They are not on the spiritual platform. One who does not want to serve Vaishnavas, the Lord's servants, they are not able to get the quality of the servant. The quality of the Vaishnava, you see, is very, very happy to absorb himself completely and totally in hearing and chanting the glories of Krishna. The neophyte devotee is not always so inclined. If he advances himself, he will become inclined like that. The advancing process is described here. One has to serve those who are advanced in Krishna consciousness. By that service, then, one inherits those qualities. If we're envious of someone, we can never inherit their good qualities. If we're envious, we simply remain a victim of our own rascal minds. And we create so much disturbance in the society of devotees. But if we will actually become enthusiastic to serve those devotees who are fully dedicated servants of the Lord, who have no ulterior motive, who dedicate everything, who risk everything to spread the glories of the Lord all over the world, if we will serve such servants, then that quality that they have of being totally, blissfully absorbed 24 hours a day in Krishna consciousness, that quality then becomes our rightful claim. We develop it also. So this formula is a very good formula. This is one of the most important verses of the entire Bhagavatam. Vaishnava Seva. It is more important than Krishna Seva. That's how we become Vaishnava. If we don't do Vaishnava Seva, we do not become Vaishnava. It is a very simple thing. We may put tilak on the nose. We may put kanti mala on the neck. We may wear dhoti, kurta, sari, We may do so many things, bowing down, offering arti to the deities. So many things we may do to show, yes, I am Vaishnava. But unless we have an eagerness to serve the Vaishnavas, especially the advanced Vaishnavas who are totally absorbed in spreading this movement, if we don't have any eagerness to serve them, we remain simply showbottled, it says. Simply showbottled. And we see there are so many showbottles. It is described by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He said, just see, here comes another disciple of Kali. He has tilak on the nose and he has kanti mala on the neck, but he's having illicit sex. So, one may ask, what is the advantage of becoming a Vaishnava? We take that for granted, but most people don't. As members of the Krishna consciousness movement, we take it for granted that being a Vaishnava, a pure Vaishnava, is the desired goal of life, you see. But the average Fiji, average Indian, and even Fijian, even Indian person in Fiji, he may not accept that conclusion. The materialistic people, their program is you accumulate as much money as possible and you enjoy it. So why? We have a different philosophy. Is there some reason? Or are we blind followers? They accuse us of being blind followers. Actually, the atheist will accuse. Oh, you're blindly following. Some charismatic leader came and he gave some flowery words and you were carried away by sentiment. So, is there a valid reason for this Krishna consciousness process? Or did Prabhupada cheat us? There's some flowery words. It is valid? Yes, it is most valid. Because beneath the total existence, the totality, the complete whole, beneath it are the source of it, I mean to say. There is God, and that God is personal. We can understand these things very clearly by logic also. Do we have any experience that something comes out of nothing? Do you have any experience of something coming out of nothing? Do you have any experience of something coming out of nothing? English, Bala? Yes? Yeah. Do you have any experience of something coming out of nothing? No, we have no experience. Everything comes from something. And that something, it came from something. And that something came from something. So if you go back until you come to that something which does not come from something, which is self-manifested, you see. That is God. So, since that God is manifesting from itself, they say God is impersonal, the Mayavad. God is impersonal. But we see that God is manifesting so many personalities. I'm a person, you're a person. So many millions, billions of personalities are coming out of God. So how the source, which is manifesting millions and billions of personalities, can be devoid of personality? Can you extract gold from a gold mine which has no gold in it? No. If you're getting gold out of the gold mine, then the gold mine must possess gold. And this is common sense. So if from that original something, which is the spark from which everything is coming, so many persons are there, then how we can be so foolish to think that that original source does not have personality? It must be personal. Therefore, we should not call it it. If I called you it, would you like it? How is it doing today? Would you like me to call you it? No. How is it doing today? It has a nice kurta today. A nice white kurta it is wearing today. Would you like to be called it? No one likes to be called it. A person wants to be appreciated as a person, not as an it. A rock doesn't mind because it has no personality. You can say that rock, you won't hurt its feelings because it has no feelings. You see. But persons have feelings, and persons don't like to be called impersons or it. So, that original source must possess personality, and therefore we do not call it it, generally. Philosophically, we may sometimes. But, as a general rule, we always refer to God as a person. We may sometimes say the absolute truth and speak of God in a more philosophical way, referring to it. But as a general rule, we always refer to God as a person. Because that is how you develop a relationship. By treating God as a person, then you develop a relationship. And to have a relationship with that person from whom everything is coming, who controls everything, who owns everything, to have a relationship with that person, that puts you in a very, very good position. Just imagine you work for a big, big corporation. And corporate life, especially in America, it's such dirty things. All this corporate politics, backstabbing. People try to go up the ladder by pushing everyone else down. You see, they want to go up the corporate ladder. So that corporate politics, it's a very hellish thing. Very hellish. I saw it when I first got married. I was working in a big corporation, and I saw what they do. One person tries to influence another person who's in a higher position to get rid of someone else that they don't like, try to fire them. There's all this kind of politics that goes on. Dirty politics goes on. But if you are the intimate friend of the owner of the company, or the CEO, do you have any difficulty? No. You're completely beyond all the office politics. You can just laugh about how foolish they are, how silly they are. Because the head man, you're his intimate friend. You have the best facility, the best paycheck, everything. No anxieties. You see. So, if we have any intelligence, we will develop a very good relationship with that person who owns everything. Sarva Loka Maheshwaram. Who controls everything. Who is the enjoyer of everything. Bhoktaram Jagatapasam. And who is the best friend of everyone. Suhridam Sarvabhutanam. If you have that inside connection with God, then nothing can disturb your happiness and your well-being. You see. In this material world, we live in constant anxiety of so many problems. It's like last night coming on the road, it was getting dark and the car wouldn't go. We pulled over the side of the road. We were only 5 kilometers away, so it wasn't so bad. But in this material world, there's always something can go wrong, always anxiety. Padam padam yadabhadam natesham, endangered every step in. But if you have that connection with Krishna, then you are in a very good position. Ananyas chintayantamam yejana paryapasate tesham nichibhiyuktanam yogachemam mahamyam. What does Krishna say? He says that those who worship me with exclusive devotion, meditating on my transcendental form, for them I preserve what they have and I carry what they like. Do you know what that means? That means whatever you have, Krishna protects it. And it means if you're missing something, if in some way you are incomplete, then Krishna, he will supply what you're missing. And if you consider that Krishna owns everything and controls everything, then how you can ever be in anxiety? You see? If something is missing, then Krishna will provide. It's like our car was missing some part and now Krishna has provided. You see, he sent the devotees with the part to the rescue. Krishna sent them with the part. So in this way, a devotee, he lives a life completely free of anxiety. So Krishna consciousness is the intelligent pathway. Sense gratification is the pathway for those who are asinine, who are stupid, who are idiotic, who have no brains. Those persons who, instead of brain substance, they have something like cow dung upstairs, you see. Alpa medisha, meager intelligence. It's interesting, that word alpa medisha. In America, alpa is a name for dog food. So it's like dog brain, you know. Alpa medisha. So, instead of having, we should have sumedasa. We should be very intelligent. You see, those persons who are actually intelligent, they worship that Supreme Personality of Godhead who appears in the form of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They join, those persons who have sufficient brain substance, they join this movement of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. This is the quickest, easiest, and the most sublime way to become spiritually perfect. We never say this is the only way. There are many ways. There's the meditational system, which was common in the Satya Yuga. There is the system of great sacrificial ceremonies that was common in the Treta Yuga. There was the system of super opulent deity worship, which was prevalent in the Dvapara Yuga. But in this age, these other practices, they are not very practical. It took Valmiki Muni 60,000 years to become perfect by the meditational system. Can you guarantee you will live for 60,000 years? Of course not. We can't even guarantee we'll live for 60 more minutes in this dangerous world. Even 60 seconds we cannot guarantee in this world of danger. So the meditational system, it is not practical. And who is prepared to go sit in the forest with no facility? No one is prepared. And those few who are prepared to do so, they usually are diverted by other things anyway. They could develop some mystic power and they want to come back into the city to show everyone, yes, now I am God. worship me. You see? In the Treta Yuga, they had huge, costly yajnas. We cannot afford such yajnas. Huge quantities of ghee and gold and all sorts of valuable, opulent things were offered in these yajnas. And the Brahmins had to chant the mantras perfectly. They would have Brahman who would chant the mantra, and they had referee Brahman also who would make sure the mantras were uttered absolutely perfectly. Nowadays, where is such Brahman to perfectly chant the mantras? So the Treta Yuga system of the sacrificial ceremonies, we cannot do. And opulent deity worship, nowadays, if you have opulent deity, we have to use costume jewelry because otherwise people come and they steal. We can't worship with such opulence as they previously worshipped the deities. Nor even we build a big temple and people don't come, they sit at home, you see. We make a nice, so it's very difficult to become self-realized simply by deity worship. Is not practical in Kali Yuga. But this process, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. This process, if executed under the guidance of the bona fide spiritual master, can quickly, easily bring us to the topmost platform of spiritual perfection. This is why spiritual master is very, very important. See? To advance in Krishna consciousness, we have to become humble. Without humility, what will be the problem? Do you know what will be the problem if there's no humility? We won't have a taste for chanting. We'll be more attracted by mundane things. That's the price we have to pay to develop a taste for the holy names. We have to develop humility. And this verse is the most important verse for developing humility. Oh, twice born sages, by serving those devotees who are completely freed from all vice, great service is done. By such service, one gains affinity for hearing the messages of Vasudeva. So how does one develop the affinity? By doing that service, one develops the mood of humility. And as Lord Chaitanya confirms, when one has this humble mood, janadapi sanichena, tarorapi sahishnina, amanina manadena, kirtaniya sarahari. When one has this humble spirit, then you can just dive into the name like the sweetest, the most sweet enlivening experience. The ultimate glob jamun. The more you, with unlimited juice. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, we can ask now if there are any questions. Yeah.
He said that Mahaprabhu would close his ears when he is called God.
That's right.
So how should we should worship him, as a devotee or as
Krishna? Ah, yes. So one may think, well, if we worship him as God, he may run away. So better we don't worship him as God, because then he will stay. But no, we know from the great acharyas, even though he showed that pastime, we are meant to worship him as God. Actually, at Srivas Angan, he revealed himself as God. He went on the altar. Generally, he did not do to make the point, but he also one time did actually accept worship. That arti song we sing, Kipa Jaya Jaya Goda Chandi. That is the pastime when Lord Chaitanya revealed himself as God. So, that is a standard part of our ISKCON worship. that Arti song where Lord Chaitanya is worshipped as God and the devotees worshipped him as God. The demigods also, they came. Shiva was mentioned, but they're all coming to worship Lord Chaitanya as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, this is why Guru is very important. If one just reads a different thing, without the help of Guru, then it's so easy to misunderstand. One can take things out of context. Just like one boy, he wanted to learn magic tricks. So he went to the library, he got a book on magic. And he was reading on the card tricks. He wanted to learn to do some card tricks. So he took one trick and he read it. The first thing it says, cut the deck. Now for card playing, there's two ways to mix the cards. Cutting the deck is where you take like one half the deck and you take one stack of cards and move it. It's called cutting. The other is shuffling, where you go, you do one at a time. That's shuffling the deck. But this boy, without proper guidance, it said, cut the deck. So he took some scissors, you see, and he cut the deck in half. Thinking, yes, now we will do the magic trick and the deck will come back together again. You see. But then he was left with the cards cut into pieces. And they just throw them away. Finish. Because he thought he knew, but it said cut the deck. To him, cut meant one thing, but actually cut meant another thing. So we may read some statement in Vedas, and we may think we know what it means. But we don't actually know what it means. Therefore, a guru is required. So now, my dear boy, cutting the deck is going like this. It's not going like this. That is cutting the deck. So, in this way, by serving, by hearing from our Guru Maharaj, following his instructions very carefully, Prabhupada has emphasized so much this guru-disciple relationship. The guru-disciple relationship means the disciple must always meditate on the order received from the spiritual master. Not just meditate on it, but Prabhupada explains worship. Can you imagine worshiping? You could take down all the orders. You could think, well, whatever orders my Gurudev has given me, let me write all, remember, go in my brain and take all the orders that he personally gave me, write them all down, put them on a sheet, and every day offer arti to those orders, you see. They're a very sacred thing. Not that we are instructing you to do that, but the point is, within your heart, you must worship. Don't take that out of context now. In your heart, you must worship those orders you have received from your spiritual master as your very life and soul. And Prabhupada explains further in this connection, and not be disturbed by anything else. That's how predominant the order received from the spiritual master. That is the only life of the disciple. He has no anything, he thinks anything besides my guru's order, it is simply a disturbance. Get rid of it. Get it out of here. All I want to know is, what has my spiritual master told me to do? That's all. What does guru want? That's all. Nothing else. For all of eternity, that is his mood of the disciple. Even in the spiritual world, when the devotee goes back to Godhead, his spiritual master will be there and he will still know, this is my spiritual master, I must serve him. That is an eternal relationship. It is not terminated at any point. If one remains in Krishna consciousness, then one has the eternal relationship of the disciple of my spiritual master. So we have to become completely sold out servants of our spiritual master. The beauty of this is by that complete total dedication to him, because he is manifest in two ways, Vapu and Vani, we can actually have Guru Maharaj's presence with us at every minute. I can every minute have my spiritual master. I can feel his presence. I can understand what he wants me to do. That comes if one is very dedicated. One will get a clear understanding. Just as Krishna reveals from within the heart what the disciple is to do if he is very devoted, one will also receive direct instructions from the spiritual master within the heart. Now, one should not imitate. We see the neophyte devotees, they sometimes do this. They listen to their own mind and they think it is the super soul. And they want to go around and tell all the devotees. But we see they simply said that Krishna wants you to do this, Krishna wants you to do that. Sometimes this happens to neophyte devotees. They think they have some direct connection with the super soul, just their own mind. They proudly think that I'm a realized soul. And so this is something, a danger one has to avoid. This is why we require that concrete relationship with the spiritual master. Not that I will take as my guru some departed acharya. See, we actually need to make that connection with the spiritual master who is physically present. Now there's a group of a split-off group from ISKCON. They espouse this philosophy, Vitvik philosophy. They say that the only acharya is Prabhupada. Now the disciplic succession came to an end with Prabhupada. There's no more acharyas after him. So everyone should become disciples of Prabhupada. The problem is, though, the spiritual master gives personal instructions to his disciples. Prabhupada explains that in his purport. So where is the personal instruction from the departed acharya? You don't have it. You may say, well, from within the heart, but you're not purified enough to get to receive them. So we require a living acharya so we can receive personal instructions from him. And we can fully surrender ourselves, humble ourselves before those instructions. And in this way, as we mature in Krishna consciousness, gradually, we can be directly instructed from the spiritual master within our hearts. Direct. He can directly speak to us from within the heart. Prabhupada said, I always see how my Guru Maharaj is. I always feel my Guru Maharaj is present, how he is watching over me, how he is guiding me and blessing me at every step. So that same wonderful Guru Sangha we can all have with our spiritual master. By Guru Seva, we get Guru Sangha. Simple thing. You want Guru Sangha? Then engage in Guru Seva. When Vapu is there, you can get Guru Sangha without so much Seva. But when Guru is departed, there's only one way to get Guru Sangha, and that is through Guru Seva. So when Guru is present, when Vapu is present, we should learn how to do Seva. That's why the spiritual master trained the disciples how to be servant, how to be in a subordinate position of servitude. 24 hours a day. On call, 24 hours a day. That's how Prabhupada trained his leading disciples. How to be on call, 24 hours a day. One night, Prabhupada was translating in Hawaii. So he woke up his servant and had him go wake up the temple president at the time, Guru Kripa Swami. So, when Guru Kripa came in, Prabhupada said, "Why you were sleeping?" He chastised him for sleeping. He said, "Prabhupada, I'm working hard all day. I just take 5 or 6 hours of rest." But Prabhupada was chastising him for sleeping in the middle of the night. He said, Prabhupada said, "I'm not sleeping. Why are you sleeping?" He said, I'm not a pure devotee, Srila Prabhupada. And he asked, I said, why you're not a pure devotee? He chastised him so much. Guru Kripa is a bit of a, you know, he has a, you could say, a hot-headed nature. So Prabhupada intentionally agitated his hot-headed nature and just smashed him like anything. And just cut him to pieces. And then when he was practically on the verge of tears, then Prabhupada told him a Krishna book story and sent him to bed. So Prabhupada was training how to be in this mood of complete dedication to spiritual master. Even my sleep is not my right. If Guru Maharaj doesn't want me to sleep, then I have to give up my sleep also. You see, whatever position, I have nothing separate from serving Guru's order. Prabhupada trained the disciples to be in this mood. I have nothing outside. I have one business and one business only 24 hours a day, and that is to serve my spiritual master. Nothing else. So that mood of complete sold-out servitude 24 hours a day to spiritual master, that's how we develop Vasudeva Katha Ruchi. So are there any other questions? So everyone is convinced now. You boys are convinced. Your brothers? Your two brothers? Huh? Yes? Can you hear? Yes?
Okay.
They're twins. Yes, they look very similar. So you are convinced? You totally give your life to Guru and Krishna. Are you convinced or not? Yes or no? Yes? Are you convinced? Yes or no? Okay. So now do that. You give your life completely in the service of Guru and Krishna. So if there's nothing else, question? Any comments? Alright then. Gantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.